This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran
kathiran. They just introduced me as an international speaker, so I should know what to do with this mic. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan al-Kareem, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the whole month and our lives beyond in good health, with iman and yaqeen, and with the desire and ability to do the best for our hereafter. This is the opportunity to reboot our lives and gain the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to start over again and make our lives sharia compliant and achieve closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In life, all human beings have only two daruriyat. Daruri is something the absence of which will lead to death. The two daruriyat are not food and water, it's not even air. They are hidayah while we live and maghfirah when we die, guidance while we are alive and forgiveness when we are dead. Because if a person has guidance and is forgiven when he or she dies, no matter what their situation in the dunya was, they will go to Jannah. We ask Allah to make us among them. And on the contrary, if a person did not have guidance, didn't have hidayah, and when they die, they do not get the forgiveness of Allah, then it doesn't matter what they had in this world. When they die, they go to Jahannam. The key is to ask ourselves where we stand. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to put into perspective where, by following the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hold ourselves back from things which are normally halal. This specifies and reinforces the meaning of being Muslim, someone who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for no reason other than Allah said so. Ramadan al-Kareem forces us to understand that when it comes to choosing between what is good for the soul and what is good for the body, we give precedence to what is good for the soul over what is good for the body. We remind ourselves that on the top of every beautiful face, on top of every strong body, on top of the cutest child, on top of the most dignified scholar, on top of the most magnificent king and queen, one day will be dumped thousands of pounds of earth. Talk about helplessness. Death is not the cessation of life. Death is the cessation of power and authority, the capability to help ourselves. Maut zindagi ke khatam hone ka naam nahi hai, ikhtiyar ke khatam hone ka naam hai. Death is the name for a state of total helplessness and vulnerability that is impossible to imagine in this life. At that time, the only thing that will help us is what we send ahead. You came here today for a purpose. Do not go from here without accomplishing that purpose. You did not come here to donate to Helping Hands. Let me repeat that. You did not come here to donate to Helping Hands. You came here to transfer your funds from an account where you will be questioned to an account where you will be rewarded. It's a transfer of funds. And that's why I believe that we need to change the way we think about charity and recognize it for what it is. I want you to think of two words: sacrifice and invest. These two words, sacrifice and invest. Which is the better word? Sacrifice or invest? Right? We unfortunately have always been told that we need to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Allah ki raah mein qurbani dijiye. Qurbani to sirf tandoori chicken ne diya jo apni jaan gawai aur aapko aap usko kha gaye usko mila kuch nahi bichari ko. Uske siwa zindagi mein qurbani kuch nahi hai. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this is a false narrative. To tell you to sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want you to please do this. Remove this word sacrifice from your vocabulary. Right? Can you do that? Remove it. Do you know the word sacrifice, sister? No. You never heard the word, right? Never. Replace it with the word invest. And I'll tell you in a minute why. For something to be considered a sacrifice, it must satisfy two conditions. It must be something that belongs to you. I cannot sacrifice my dear friend and brother, Dr. Nadeem Sikandar's watch. I can't take his watch and say, I am sacrificing this watch. It doesn't belong to me, it's his watch. So for something to be a sacrifice, two conditions must be satisfied. Number one, it must belong to you. And number two, you must not get any return for it. Zero return. Right? I cannot take this phone of mine and I sell it to Mia Sahib and I say, you know, I sacrificed my phone. No, you sold your phone. You didn't sacrifice anything. You sold the phone. He gave you a price for it. Right? Now, let's see what happens when we spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us see if the conditions of sacrifice are satisfied. Just to make sure you're all here. What are the two conditions? Number one, must belong to you. Number two, no return. Zero return, right? Zero return. Now, so now we're talking about sacrificing, within quotes, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take money, take time, take strength, power, health, influence, whatever. Your money belongs to whom, Fawad bhai?
Allah.
Allah, right? Your health belongs to whom, sir? Your time belongs to whom? You know why I'm saying that? This is not semantics. This is not semantics. You know the condition to know whether something belongs to someone or not. You know what the condition is? If something belongs to me, I can take it away anytime I want and you can do nothing about it. That is the condition. Truly. If it is my car, you may be driving it, but it's my car. I can take it away. And if I take away my car, you can go and cry to who you want. It is not a problem. It's my car. I took it away. Oh, why did you take it? Sorry, excuse me. My car. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us health. If Allah chooses to take it away, what can you do? Tell me. Can you do something? This life Allah gave us. If Allah takes it, we do it, we see it every day. This money Allah takes us. You know the most iconic, I mentioned it the other day in the Masjid. The most iconic picture that I saw out of this earthquake in Turkey and Syria was a picture of a man standing in a line, food line, with three loaves of bread in his hand. Three loaves of bread. You know what is the price of that one loaf of bread in the man's hand? 11 apartment buildings, not apartments. 11 apartment buildings. You know why I'm saying that? Because that man, the caption said, this man used to own 33 apartment buildings. Few seconds of a shake like that, he is standing in a food line for food to be given to him. He gets three loaves of bread. What is the value of that bread? Each loaf is worth 11 apartment buildings. So who does it belong to? It belongs to the, that is the condition. You want to see what somebody, if something belongs to someone, see who can take it away. The only thing we can do is to behave with sabr and restraint and not complain and what not. Other than that, nothing. Now, that is why for the Urdu people who know Urdu, I won't translate because shayari ko translate karne mein barbaad ho jati. Usne kaha ke shaheed ho Allah ke naam hai, to kaha ke jaan di hui usi ki thi. جان دی ہوئی اسی کی تھی. حق تو یہ ہے کہ حق ادا نہ ہوا. جان دی ہوئی اسی کی تھی, حق تو یہ ہے کہ حق ادا نہ ہوا. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us to spend before it is too late. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم یا ایہا الذین آمنوا انفقوا مما رزقناکم من قبل ان یأتی یوم لا بیع فیہ ولا خلۃ ولا شفع والکافرون هم الظالمون. The ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is just before Ayat Al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, spend from what we have given you. Allah did not say sacrifice. Find me the word sacrifice in the Quran and I will take my words back. There's no such word as sacrifice. Allah said, spend, invest. Allah said, spend from what we have given you before a day comes in which there is la bay'un fihi wala khullatun wala shafa. There is no trade, there is no commerce, there is no friendship, there is no shafa, there is no intercession. And those who deny are the people who are the oppressors. Despite that, now what does Allah give us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who comes with one good deed, Allah will give him 10 like that. Now do the sums. If you get 2 for 1, that is how many percent? 100%, right? If you get 10 for 1, it is what? 1000%. That is the minimum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. Less than that, you can't get. You can't go to Allah and say, Allah, I gave this, give me 3 times. No. 1000%. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِيَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَعَسِيٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the example of those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah is as the example of a grain of corn, which when planted, it grows 7 years and each year has 100 grains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives manifold increase to whom He pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sufficient for His creatures and needs. And creatures' needs, and He's the all-knower. Allah does not count and give. Even where Allah is giving the example, for one He will give 700. 1:10 is the minimum. 1:700 is what Allah said. And then Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يُزَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will increase as He wishes. Increase how much? Increasing in keeping with His majesty and grace. So what sacrifice are we talking about? What do these ayats sound like? Giving up something without return, net loss, or unimaginable gain guaranteed by the one who has the power to guarantee it. Another problem with the sacrifice mindset is that since to sacrifice something is to give it away without any return, it's a zero-sum game. And it ends long before we reach the zero. Even the most generous person will come to a point where he has or she has nothing left to give. And most will stop long before that. And that is why we have this term, donor fatigue. You heard that term, right? Donor fatigue. Sadly, nobody seems to have a solution for that apart from doing what we do with grazing cattle. Leave the field fallow for a while and then bring the cows back. What is very interesting to me is that the real solution is crystal clear in the Quran and Sunnah for anyone who likes to look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin aleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, shall I show you, not sacrifice, tijara, a trade, a business, which will save you from grievous punishment. Hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin aleem. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ No sacrifice. Allah said, Allah has purchased, Allah has bought from the believers their lives and their properties in exchange for Jannah. So this is a deal that we have done already. Jannah is yours. What do you need to do? Pay the money. That's it. It belongs to you. Allah in another place, Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah said, Humul warithun. After the first 11 ayat, conditions of Mu'minin, Humul warith. Who's the warith? Someone to whom it belongs. He's the inheritor. Sale, purchase, trade, return, wirasa. We are not talking about sacrifice. We are talking about investment. So I want you to remove the word sacrifice, as I told you, and replace it with the word investment. Now think about this. When considering investment opportunities and assessing return on investment, and this is my other hat, business consulting hat. When we look at return on investment, ROI, we say ROI, return on investment. We look at two parameters. Number one is rate of return. And number two is the value of the guarantee. That is the reason why, for example, government bonds, which give you the lowest rate of return, are preferred investment instruments, because it is guaranteed by the government. So we say, well, even though the rate is low, but the guarantor is safe, right? The usual principle in market, in finance, is high rate of return, high risk. Low rate of return, low risk. This is the usual principle. So if you want to invest in a startup, you might get a huge rate of return, but it might sink. You might get nothing. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the opposite. It's a high rate of return and zero risk. Not just low risk, zero risk. The big question is, do you really believe that? Seriously. Do you really believe that Allah spoke the truth? Do you really believe that Allah will fulfill His promises? That is a question to ask ourselves. I know we'll all say that up here. Oh, of course, we are Muslim. La hawla quwwata. Sheikh, how can you ask a question like this? I can, believe me. I can. We have to ask ourselves, because the truth, you know where it comes out from? Not from here, not from the tongue. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. On that day, the lips will be sealed, the tongue will be sealed, all the clever arguments. The hand will speak, the feet will speak, the skin will speak, the eyes will speak, the ears will speak. That's the question to ask. Do I really believe what Allah is telling me? And that's the choice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us today. Whether we want to save and invest for the life to come, which has no end, or whether we want to spend in this life, which will end, we know not when. Let's choose wisely, because this is about us. Think about this. You don't call what you spend on Wall Street donation, do you? You go buy a set of shares. You say, I donated to GE or I donated to Microsoft. No. I donated to Tesla. No. You bought the shares. I invested in Tesla. Find me somebody anywhere in the world who says, I donated to Elon Musk. Huh? I invested in Tesla. And that's why have you ever heard of NASDAQ or Wall Street talking about donor fatigue? Nobody. You know why? Because investments give returns. Sacrifice is net loss. Investment is net gain. Sacrifice has to end, will end. Investment never ends because investment is net gain. So you keep getting a return. The bigger the investment, the bigger the return. I want to close by one final point, and that is, because all of this is, as I said, it's beyond and it's deeper than semantics. This is really in the heart. It is really an issue of yaqeen. The surest sign of life is the ability to feel pain. It's not the ability to feel pleasure or understand anything or laugh at a joke or recognize anyone even. People can have advanced stage of dementia or Alzheimer's, may Allah protect us from all that, and they don't even recognize their own children, but they are alive. They're not dead. The ability to feel pain. And that is why the hadith of Numan al-Bashir, Numan ibn Bashir, who reported that Rasulullah said, the example of the believers in their affection and mercy and compassion for each other is that of a body. When any limb aches, the whole body is restless with fever and sleeplessness. When a person is in a coma and doctors are trying to determine if he is dead or not, of course, if he is in hospital, they've got all kinds of machines, but if he's not in hospital and they want to check, they pinch or they poke a needle or something to see if there's a reaction. If there's no reaction, it means he's dead. I'm saying this to you because the same logic applies to the heart. A heart that stops feeling pain is dead. It's just a pump moving blood around the body. It's no longer a heart. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the heart, لَا تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ وَلَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah said their eyes don't become blind, their hearts become blind. The hearts which are in their chests. The question is, do we believe in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I say to you and myself that the hallmark of civilization, of a civilized society, is not how they treat people with power and authority, because people with power and authority have means of getting good treatment. It is how they treat the helpless. And there is no one more helpless than an orphan. To be an orphan, the word, Arabic word as we know, and the same word in Urdu and so on, is yatim. Yatim linguistically means somebody who is completely cut off from all support. He has nobody in the world. That is yatim. And don't think it's a question of alone, meaning physically alone. The person sitting on the next sitting on the park bench next to you is not a companion. A person sitting on the next seat in a bus is not a companion. A person in the same hotel where you are staying is not a companion. May Allah forgive us. Sometimes people living in the same house are not companions. Companionship is a part of, is something of the heart. It's in the heart. And for the yatim, that is gone forever, never coming back. So understand that. My father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, was a doctor. And he died. When he died, I was almost, how old is I? I mean, I've forgotten, I'm so old. So technically, I could not be called yatim because after puberty, there is no, you cannot be called a yatim. But what I miss about him is his ta'alluq with Allah. My brother, myself, there are five of us. And we travel all over the world. We live in different countries and so on. Anytime we had a problem, anytime we needed some dua, we used to phone him and we used to say, Papa, ye masala hai, ab dua kijiye. And he used to say, I'm from Hyderabad, Dakkan. So he used to say in our Hyderabadi, he used to say, मैं पकड़ लेता हूँ, छोड़ता नहीं, मैं दिए हद तक नहीं छोड़ता. I will catch hold of him. I will not let go until he gives. Yeah? When he died,
that went. There's nobody in the world who can replace that. Nobody. Without exception. It's not about money. It's not about holding your hand and saying, oh, I love you. No. All that is good. Do it. What the parent brings, only the parent can bring. And so the yatim is alone in a way. If you cannot understand that, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Thank Allah that Allah made you such that you do not have any clue what I'm saying. That you do not understand what it means to be yatim. Say Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then do something. For those who know what that means. They know that deep down here. Not intellectual knowledge. Not translation of the word. The meaning of the meaning. Inside here. And those who believed in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who understood this, I will tell you one last story and I'm gone. And the story is of this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Abu Dahda al-Ansari. One day he was in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. And a yatim boy came and he was crying. And you know Rasulullah's position with the yatama, how, because he was himself yatim, so he understood that. So he asked the boy, he said, why? He wiped his tears, he said, what happened, why are you crying? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a problem. He said, my father left for me a small date garden, date orchard, and I want to put a wall around this. And there is a date palm in the way of that wall which belongs to my neighbor. And the neighbor is also a Muslim, he was also a Sahabi. So he said, I went to my neighbor and I asked him, I said, uncle, can you allow me to cut this tree? He said, no, my tree. So he said, can you sell me the tree then? So if you sell me the tree, I'll cut the tree and I put my wall through that. He said, no, I won't sell it. So I can't cut it and you won't sell it to me. Now what do I do? So Rasulullah said, call him. So they called him. We know the name of the Sahabi, I'm deliberately not saying it because what happened, Allah knows best. He came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah said to him, this boy has a problem, he wants to build a wall, he's a poor guy, you've got a big garden and so on, it's one tree, let him cut it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, no. It's my tree. May Allah protect us from ourselves. Sometimes Shaitan plays games. Huh? So Rasulullah said, then sell him the tree, put some price on it, he will give it. He said, no, it is my tree, it's my right. I can sell or not sell. And legally speaking, he is correct. But who is he talking to? He's talking to the Nabi of Allah. He says, my right, I don't want to sell, I don't sell. Rasulullah said to him, he said, do something, do one more thing. Let me tell you something else, another proposal. He said, my proposal is sell the tree to me. So it's no longer you and the boy, it's me. He said, sell the tree to me and I will guarantee you a tree in Jannah. What is the meaning of guaranteeing a tree in Jannah? It doesn't mean you're sitting in Jahannam and saying, you know what, I got a tree in Jannah. No. Guarantee a tree in Jannah means this is the bashara of Jannah for the man. Yes? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want it. And he left. Now, Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, I'm talking about people who understood the meaning of the word yatim and who understood the meaning of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu is sitting there, is watching this whole thing happen. As soon as the man left, Abu Dahda got up, he went to Nabi Sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you promised that man a tree in Jannah. If he sells that tree to this boy, if I get that tree, will you give me the same thing? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Abu Dahda al-Ansari went behind his man. By this time, this man is in the market. Abu Dahda stopped him. He said to him, you know me? He said, of course. He said, what do you know about me?
He said, we know that you are Abu Dahda and you have the most valuable real estate, the most valuable date palm orchard in Medina, in which there are 650 bearing date palms. Your house is there. There is a well of sweet water and the whole place has a wall around it. It is secure. This is what we know. This is what everyone knows about Abu Dahda al-Ansari. He said, yes, you are correct. He said, I've got a proposal for you. I've come to ask you, please sell me that tree which we talked about just now. The man said, you are crazy. I did not even sell it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why would I sell it to you? Abu Dahda said, no, I haven't finished. He said, my proposal is, you sell me that tree and I give you my whole garden. 650 trees, house, well, wall, the works. For one tree. The man says, are you crazy or nuts? What's wrong with you? He said, no, I'm telling you. Now, there's a bunch of people collected. Obviously, this conversation is happening. A whole bunch of people collected around there. They want to know what's going on. Abu Dahda radhiyallahu anhu said, all of these people are witness. Will you change your word? He said, no, I'm not changing my word. This is my deal. You give me that, you sell me that tree, I give you my whole garden. With everything in it. The man said, you're sure? He said, sure. He said, all these people are witness? He said, they're witness. He said, okay, I sold you the tree. It's yours. The tree is yours. Abu Dahda radhiyallahu anhu turned around, went back to Masjid Nabawi Sharif. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I got the tree for you. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, you promised me a tree, no? Is it there? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Abu Dahda, your Rabb showed me your Jannah. And how many trees? And he repeated. He said, I promised you one tree. He said, but your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, he showed me your Jannah. And how many trees? Abu Dahda radhiyallahu anhu went. The story is not ended. Final punchline. He went to his garden. He stood outside the wall. He called out, Ya Dahda. He's calling his wife. Ya Dahda. She came out of the house. He said, come, bring the kids. We are leaving. She said, where are we going? Why? He said, I sold this. She said, sold what? He said, sold everything. This whole house, everything, the garden. She said, to whom? He said, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, for how much? He said, for one tree in Jannah. She said, Subhanallah, what a bargain. Subhanallah, what a bargain. Eh? He just sold the woman's house. He sold her roof over her head. He made this woman, who was a wealthy woman with the most valuable real estate in Medina, he turned her into a homeless person. And what she said? What a bargain. Why? Because she's not thinking sacrifice. She's thinking investment. She's thinking transfer of funds. Here was this garden. Now we got the Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open these haqqaiq on our hearts. To enable us to truly benefit from this beautiful deen that He sent us. To truly benefit from the generosity of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Whose generosity we cannot even begin to understand. Whose treasures have no boundaries. Whose khudrat has no boundaries. Whose power has no boundaries. Whose authority has no boundaries. يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاء وَيَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the true muttabi'een, the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to accept all our ibadat and our siyam and qiyam and tilawat al-Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.